All right, we're in a series called The Good Life, and I'm excited because today we're going to talk about forgiveness. And you know, in my 20s, I've experienced hurt, and it took me a long time to forgive, but finally when I did, a long time to forgive, but even longer to heal. And I thought I'll never have to deal with unforgiveness again, and in my 39s, it struck me again. It hit me again so hard to where I didn't think I would have to deal with this again. But you know, life is life. People are people. Sinners sin. We're all sinners, so people sin against us, and we sin against people, and it hurts. Sin hurts. Yeah? Sin hurts others, and sin hurts you. See, you're human. You were created to live away from sin. And here's how you were created. You were created spirit, soul, and body. And there was supposed to be harmony between your spirit, soul, and body. And your spirit was supposed to be connected Wi-Fi to God. Okay? When sin came into the world, it broke the Wi-Fi connection. Have you ever been somewhere you needed Wi-Fi and it didn't work? Right? Like, we live outside of town and we try, our Wi-Fi, it goes bad all the time. And now my kids complain. How dare they? They need to fix it. You know, they watching Netflix and it's broken. Well, this is what a picture is between a sinner and God. When you are walking in sin and you're not forgiven, the Wi-Fi with God is broken. So here's what happens. You can't download the blessing of God, the promises of God into your life because the Wi-Fi broken. You can't upload your prayers. So whatever you want to type in to Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, and just won't go. It says no connection, no connection, no connection. What happens? It gets you frustrated. Well, human beings were created to have that connection with God. And until you do, there's always a hole in your heart until you have that connection. And the only way to get that connection back is through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the ladder. He's the bridge between us and God. Not corporately, individually, between me and God, between you and God. Jesus Christ is that. Without Jesus, the connection is broken. Okay? And so today we're going to talk about forgiveness. And but before I do again, let me just give you a little bit more. Sin hurts you more than God. Why? It brings this balance into your being. You don't have to be a Christian to know that sin hurts yourself, right? Even atheists know if I steal from somebody, I'll always look around my shoulder. And now with video cameras everywhere, you're always looking, is there a camera anywhere? Is somebody recording me, right? Because whatever we do now will be put on YouTube forever, will be online forever. But what sin does, have you ever gotten a fight with your spouse and you couldn't sleep at night? Wasn't even your fault. Never. What happened? Why were you so stressed out? Why couldn't you sleep? Why did your heart squeezed? Is it just me or just, have you ever experienced? And of course, a lot of young people here, they don't. But have you ever got into argument between brother and sister to the point where you fought, like argued, not physically, but argued, and there was some kind of a disbalance in you? Have you ever seen a person who hurt you or you hurt them and it was like a magnet, it wasn't right? Or you saw them at school or in a church or on a party somewhere and you're like, I don't want to be around you. You lost that balance, the rhythm. Oh, here's a better word. You were created out of energy. Energy makes sound. Sound makes rhythm. When you are walking in righteousness, you have a rhythm to you. I can't do it. Who can come and help me beat box? There's a rhythm. But whenever sin comes in, it messes up with the rhythm. Have you ever listened to a drummer who can't play the rhythm? It's like, dude, just get off the drums. It would be easier without drums, right? They've got to have a rhythm. Unforgiveness causes disbalance of rhythm. Misalignment of rhythm. And that's why you cannot enjoy life to the fullest until you forgive. Now, I know in a church, we're good at saying, you know, that verse, Jesus said, if you don't forgive people their transgressions, your Father in heaven won't forgive you your transgression. And it's easy to say, what if you've been sexually molested by your father or mother or whatever? What if you've been sexually abused and it ruined your life and it caused
a lot of problems in your mind and sexuality and everything like that. What about that? See, what happened to Joseph, his own brothers sold him as a slave. Let me bring it home today. Joseph is a 17-year-old kid. His brothers want to kill him, but they do less of an evil. They sell him as a slave. Parents, imagine this. You have five children. You go on vacation. And four of your children hated the fifth one so much, they went online and sold them. You came back home, the child is gone. And they're like, we don't know what happened. Maybe they got hit by a car. Or maybe somebody stole them, you know. Maybe somebody kidnapped them. But they sold. So here's what happens in this family. It causes chaos in the family. The people who sold the child, imagine if it was a little girl. Imagine if your little girl, I have two girls. I have a boy too. And if that would have happened in my family, what kind of pain would it cause you and me? But sin doesn't just hurt the person who is being sinned against. It also hurt the brothers. They were living in constant fear and condemnation. Remember, whenever you choose to sin or whenever you are tempted to sin, just remember there's always a consequence to you. Always a consequence. You don't have to be a Christian to know this. Atheists know this too because they feel it. Why don't I want to hurt you? Why don't I want to talk bad about you? Why don't I want to backstab you? Why don't I want to, you know, cheat on you? Why don't I want to? Because it's going to hurt me and I don't want to be hurt. Come on, somebody. And so Joseph is sold for 14 years. He was a slave and in prison. And then God raises him up. And today his brothers come and meet him without knowing him. So let's open our Bibles. Okay. Genesis chapter 42, verse 1 through 9. Genesis 42, 1 through 9. When Jacob heard that grain was available in Egypt. So this is 2 years into famine. He said to his sons, why are you standing around looking at one another? I think the reason they were standing around looking at one another because they remember, they always live with the guilt. They sold Joseph into Egypt. Why are you looking around? Because they all know the truth, what happened to their brother Joseph. They sold him into Egypt and now they have to go there. I have heard there's grain in Egypt. Go down there and buy enough grain to keep us alive. Otherwise we will die. 3. So Joseph's 10 brothers, older brothers, went down to Egypt to buy grain. But Jacob wouldn't let Joseph's younger brother Benjamin go with them for fear some harm might come to him. Let me just stop here a second. So Joseph has 11 brothers. He has a younger brother who is not his half-brother. He's his full brother. The 10 brothers are his half-brothers. Joseph and Benjamin were sons of the same woman, Rachel. This is the woman Jacob, their father, loved. He wanted to marry only one woman, but his father-in-law tricked him to marrying her sister. Not a pretty sister, the one nobody wanted to marry. So as Jacob got drunk at the wedding, his father-in-law brought him Leah, right? You know this story. If you did, don't read the Bible. It's pretty exciting. The soap opera, oh man, that family is the most messed up family in the Bible. It's much more messed up than yours and mine, okay? So now Jacob has 4 wives. He's like, if I'm going to have 2, you know, then might as well have 4. And so he has all these children and it divides the family. It divides the family. They're all fighting for the attention. It's like that show they have on TV. I don't watch it, but Sister Brides? Some like that. Yeah, Sister Wives, you know. And they're all fighting for this one man and his attention. And who's going to be with him today, tomorrow, and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so Jacob has 2 children with Rachel. He loves them because he loved Rachel. He kind of doesn't love the other wives, so he kind of doesn't love the other's children. And here's the problem, parents. When you choose to favor one child over another, you cause a rift in your family. You cause dysfunction in your family, okay? Now, we don't like our children all the same, but we're supposed to love them the same. Some children, you know, they're easy to love, like, daddy, daddy, oh, how you doing, how you feeling? And some are like, I don't care, you know which one is easier to like, but you're supposed to love all of them. And so Jacob is a helicopter parent. He lost one son from this woman, Rachel. Rachel has passed away in birth of Benjamin. She died in birth. And now he only has one son, Benjamin, and he's a helicopter parent. he won't let him do anything. But this time, Bible doesn't say, but I'm assuming Benjamin is about 30 years old. And look what his father says. But Jacob wouldn't let Joseph's younger brother Benjamin go with them for fear some harm might come to him. 30 years old, maybe older, you're not going anywhere. How do you tell a 30-year-old guy who's probably even married by this time, you're not going anywhere? Here's how. Jacob made Benjamin his idol. You cannot make your children your idol. Eventually, you got to let go and trust God. Just because you're worrying about your 40-year-old child doesn't mean it does anything for them, okay? It's just giving you an ulcer. It's just giving you health problems for the future. Eventually, you got to be able, and this is what I tell myself, I got to be able to trust God with my children. They're going to make mistakes. They're going to do something I probably wouldn't do, but God is their father as much as he's my father. Okay, but Jacob doesn't have the Bible at this point. There's no Bible, there's no writings, so he's kind of doing it as he goes. And he doesn't know that it's hurting his family. But even if he does know that it's hurting his family, he doesn't care. He's just protecting this one boy, Benjamin. Let's go, keep going. Verse 5. So Jacob's son arrived in Egypt along with others to buy food, for the famine was in Canaan as well. Since Joseph was governor of all Egypt and in charge of selling grain to all the people, it was to him that his brothers came. When they arrived, they bowed before him. Notice, remember his dream in the beginning? They bowed before him with their faces to the ground. Joseph recognized his brothers instantly, but he pretended to be a stranger and spoke harshly. Say harshly. Kind of, this verse kind of shows us that Joseph is not a superhero. He's a human being. He's been hurt by somebody. Now they're coming to him. They don't recognize him, but he can't help himself. I'm sure Joseph is very diplomatic and wise, but he can't help himself. He's talking harshly to them. All the emotions, all the pain, all the anger, all the bitterness is not now coming up. Now is it coming up. Lesson number one, if you're writing down, your hurts will always come to haunt you. Always. God will make sure of it. Your hurts will always come to haunt you. God will make sure of it. Now, Joseph has been out of prison for 9 years. His life is great. He has 2 children. He has a beautiful wife. He's second in command in Egypt. He's vice president of Egypt, the most powerful nation on earth. And his hurts have come to haunt him. And I believe this, Joseph, he suppressed. You can suppress your hurts and pains, but eventually, when you're not expecting it, they will come and hunt you unless you deal with the hurts. And the first step is forgiveness, and we're going to go there. Joseph recognized his brothers instantly, but he pretended to be a stranger and spoke harshly to them. Have you ever broke a relationship with somebody, or somebody broke a relationship with you? And you maybe didn't do anything wrong, but they sinned against you. They hurt you. They stole from you. They cheated on you. But then life got busy and you forgot about it. Well, the pain didn't go away if you forgot about it. And eventually your hurts will come to haunt you. I was talking to one of the brothers whose father sinned against him really bad. Messed up his life. And he said he thought he forgot about the pain. And then his father got a job working close by him, so now they see each other all the time. And he says, I'm bitter, I'm angry. I pray angry prayers. And you know, my first response is, you got to forgive. And it's easy to say, but if somebody took your child and sold them into slavery, it could be sexual slavery. It could be work slavery. People do that all over the world. People abduct children. That's why we have movies like Taken. And then they sell them to these rich or whatever, they make him prostitutes or they make him sex slaves. Don't tell me, pastor, to forgive somebody who has ruined my life. Don't tell me that. And see, as a church people, we love to just give quick answers and not giving legitimacy to the pain. Joseph is a godly man led by the Spirit. The Spirit of God is with him, but he can't help himself. He's harsh to them. Now, I'm not saying you should be harsh to people who have hurt you, but when you are, find yourself sometimes acting like, I thought I was higher than that. I've said that to myself a couple of weeks ago. I've said that to Tanya. I said, this person hurt me, and I thought I was past that. But sometimes you just can't help yourself, and the pain comes bubbling up, and you act irrationally. And then you're like, I'm a pastor. I shouldn't act like that. But when a pain has been festering inside of you for such a long time, sometimes you act weird and stupid and act like a child. And so I don't need you to tell me, forgiven. How dare you act like that? It's a natural response. When you've been hurt, you thought you forgot about it, but then it just came. And the reason it comes, because God wants to heal. He doesn't want to suppress it and hide it. He wants to heal it. And the faster you forgive, the faster you let go, the faster you can move on with your life. But until you do, you cannot move on with your life. And so Joseph speaks harshly to them. Where are you from? And you know, have you ever been to the store, Walmart, and some cashier says, starts speaking harshly to you? And you're like, what have I done to you? I'm a good person. I'm buying. Did I look at you wrong? Or a waitress in a restaurant, you know, they just give you that look. You're like, whoa, chill, dude. Chill, girl. You know, that's how they're feeling. He demanded, from the land of Canaan, they replied, we have come to buy food. We mean no harm. We're just here for food. Next verse. Okay. Although Joseph recognized his brothers, they didn't recognize him. He looked different. He was a prince now. He was dressed in royal robes. He shaved his beard, and they had their beards on because the cultures were so different, right? And next, and he remembered, oh, I love this, the dreams he'd had about them, 24 years ago. And he said to them, you are spies. You have come to see how vulnerable our lands have become. So here's what he does. He throws them in prison for 3 days. A godly man, Joseph, his response is, throws him in prison for 3 days. Why? Because he's hot. He's burning. Imagine you are a judge. Imagine that girl who was sold from family, and she becomes a judge. And now the person who's standing in front of her, in front of her bench, is asking for forgiveness or asking for some judgment in their favor, and they're saying, I'm a good person. And Joseph like, yeah, I know how good you are. And so guess what he does? He throws them in prison for 3 days, and he's listening. He's acting like he doesn't speak Hebrew, so he's communicating with them in Egyptian. And the older brother, he listens while they're in prison. He listens, and the older brother says this. He says, I told you guys not to throw Joseph into slavery. The boy was crying for our help and we didn't listen. And now God is punishing us. And Joseph is hearing that. And you would think from the first glance that that's repentance already. But you can recognize the sin and not repent. And Joseph wanted to know, is there repentance? So for the next 4 chapters, if you want to read this at home, from chapter 42 to chapter 42, 43, 44, 45, Joseph is treating them like crap. And I'll show you that in a second. Joseph is really harsh to them. Why? Because he wants to know, are they repentant? See, there is Judah who betrayed Jesus. He felt sorrow, but he never repented. And so he went and hung himself. Peter repented. And here's the difference between Peter and Judas. Peter repented. Peter turned around and he continued to follow Jesus. He wanted to make it right with Jesus. Judas said, oh, I have sinned. And then he killed himself without repenting. And Jesus would have forgiven Judas as much as he forgave Peter and all of us. And so he throws him in prison for 3 days. After 3 days, he comes down. Can you imagine? It takes 3 days for Joseph to cool down. That's how angry he was. A godly man. Do godly people ever get angry? Yes. So here's the lesson here. Take 3 days. If you're angry with somebody, just cool it. Don't go try to fix the problem right away. Now, take about 3 days. So if you have an argument with somebody who is not your wife, you know, or children, you know, then take a few days. 3 days is a good day. Good timeline. Now, if you argued with your spouse, the man usually wants to make it right away and then make love. The women, it takes them about 3 hours to cool down. So here's a lesson, guys. If you got an argument with your wife and you were right and she was wrong, give it 3 hours. Don't try to make it right unless you want to apologize and not mean it.
Okay? Give it 3 hours. Your woman will chill a little bit. And then if she was wrong, she'll recognize it. She'll come to you and she'll say, I'm sorry. And then you could say you're sorry too. Because we have different timelines. Guys are quick, right? Guys, help me out. Guys, can you say amen? Okay, thank you. And ladies, can you say amen that it takes you 3 hours to come down or more? At least, thank you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's find some seats for people. If you guys could move in, we're running out of room. Where's our ushers? Come on, set up the chairs in the back. All right, so let's focus on me. I'll go on this side, so focus on me. So after 3 days, Joseph releases them from prison, but he says, you said you have one more brother, right? And Joseph, that's his real brother, not half brother, but like full brother. And so he's like, you have a brother. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to release 9 of you, but I'm going to keep one. You choose which one. And so he takes Simeon, because I think they chose Simeon. They must have not liked him. So they choose Simeon and says, well, he'll stay till we get the brother, you know, Benjamin. And he ties him up and puts him in prison in front of them. What a drama, right? What an effect. That's what Joseph does to one of his brothers. Why? He wants to find out, are they truly repentant or are they just sorry because now they have to live with this sin? Are you truly repentant of your sin or are you just sorry that it's disbalancing you? Okay. So on the way home, they got home and they said to Father, the first thing they said to the Father, Father, this man was harsh. He was angry at us. And Father's like, really? Okay. And the Father says, Where's Simeon? And they're like, well, the man put him in jail. He tied him up and put him in jail. And here's what he said. He said, you are spies. And I think Joseph is making this up as he goes. He's heard and he wants to, I don't think he's thought of this. I think he's making it up as he goes. Although it's an awesome plan to see if they're truly repentant. And then they tell their father, Jacob, and they said, the man said, if we don't bring Benjamin on the next trip for food, he's going to keep Simeon as a slave. So the father says, it's not happening. You're not taking Benjamin from me over my dead body. You take Benjamin. I already lost Joseph. And notice, he doesn't mind Simeon. What's wrong with him? Simeon is spending time in jail. Probably a month, maybe two. How long did it take for them to run out of food? So the father says again, why are you sitting around? Go get some food. And they said, he'll put us all in jail. He told us, unless we bring Benjamin, our youngest brother, don't even show your face here. And father says, no. And then the older brother comes up and his name is Reuben. And Reuben says, I have two sons. If I don't bring you Benjamin back, you can take my two sons. And father says, no, I don't need your two sons. And then Judah stands up and Judah says, Father, let me be responsible. Let me take Benjamin. And if I don't bring him back, you can take my two sons. And the father says, yes. Here's a question. Why did the father accept Judah's recommendation but rejected Reuben's recommendation or proposition? Here's why. Because Judah knew what it is to lose children. Judah had three sons. He married one of his oldest son to a woman named Tamar. They lived together a couple of months and his son died. So the tradition was for the second son, he was supposed to marry, right, his brothers, because his brother was the oldest. That's a weird tradition. Thank God we don't have that today. But so she marries the second brother, and he dies because he was evil, Bible says, and he dies. And now Judah has a younger boy, and he makes a promise. He says, go live with your parents to Tamar. Tamar, go live with your parents, and when my boy, the third one, grows up, I'll give you and you can marry him. Well, many years passed by and Judah wasn't even thinking about giving the boy to Tamar because she's a widow maker. She's a witch. Well, two boys have died with this woman. And so one day she hears that Judah is having a big celebration because they did a sheep shearing. They were harvesting wool and they had a big party after that. And so she pretended to be a prostitute and she met him by the well. And he said, can we, you know, let's do what we do. And she says, what will you give me for that? He's like, I can send you a sheep, a baby goat, you know, after we do the whatever. Kids here, man.
And he said, well, you could trust me. She says, no, I don't trust you. Give me your staff. And in those days, staffs represented kind of who the people were. They were like tattoos, okay? And give me your signet ring. Each person of influence had some kind of a ring, signet ring. And so he sleeps with her. He leaves the ring and a staff, and he goes back and asks one of his servants. He says, can you take a goat? There's a prostitute woman by that tower, by that well. Find her, give her the goat or the sheep or the lamb, and get me my ring and my staff. And why am I even telling you this? It's going to make sense here. It's going to make sense here in a second. The servant goes with the little goat, and he asks people around, where's the prostitute? And they're like, there is no prostitute. It was his daughter-in-law, Tamar. He dressed up as a prostitute. Well, a couple of months later, Judah finds out that this woman who killed two of his sons is pregnant, and she was supposed to wait. Well, he is looking for opportunity to stone her as a, you know, a woman who broke the law, who broke the law. And so he brings the court together. He gets the elders together. They bring this woman, and they were just about to stone her. And they were asking, whose child is this? And she said, whosever ring this is and whosever staff this is, that's whose child it is. And Judah realizes that's his. That's his babies. And those are the babies now he promises to Abraham. To Jacob. He says, if I don't bring, see how messed up this family is? If I don't bring, and notice God's still using that. Here's what I love about God, and the more I know him, he realizes how all broken we are. But then I also realize if he were to use a perfect person, he would have nobody. So he has to use us. There's no other option for him as well. And so, anyway, so Judah says, take two of my boys. And I think these are the boys now because his sons died. And these are his boys. He's raising them from Tamar. And I think Jacob, the reason he accepts that proposition from Judah, because Judah experienced, how many of you know it's easier to accept help from a person or compassion from a person who's been through? And so he gives him Benjamin, and I think God was working on Jacob too, the father. God was trying to break his unhealthy obsession with Benjamin. God, eventually, he had to recognize, I cannot keep this boy protected. I have to let him go. I can't keep him by my side. And so he lets him go. I think it's a lesson for him. They go to Egypt, and Joseph throws him a big party at his palace. Watch this. After they eat, he loads him up with grain, and he takes his silver cup. Okay, it was a special cup. Only he could drink from it. Maybe given to him by Pharaoh himself. When I was telling this story to my little daughter, Hadassah, she already heard it somewhere. Somebody already told her, either you probably. And she said, yeah, he gave him the golden cup of Egypt. Actually, it was silver, so get it right. It was a silver cup. And so he takes the silver cup and he plants it in Benjamin's bag with grain. He hides it there. So the brothers, now all 11 of them, go out and are on their way home. And as they're walking home, Joseph sends an army to find this cup that he planted. And the brother says, no way. When they're confronted, they say, no way we took it, that cup. We didn't take the cup. If you find a cup, kill whoever you find a cup with, because we didn't take it, and make us all a slaves. We don't have the cup. So they go to Benjamin, they open his sack, and in his bag of grain, there is the cup. And they're like, no. And Joseph says, no, I won't keep you all as slaves. Only the one who sinned, only the one who stole from me, he will be my slave. I can do whatever I want with Benjamin. And they said, no, no. And here's what Joseph was going for. He was wondering, did they change? See, I believe he forgiven them, but he also wanted a restoration of relationship. He wanted reconciliation with them. Because, you know, you can forgive a person, but you don't have, see, you have to forgive a person, but you don't have to reconcile with the person anymore. You can forgive privately, you can forgive without ever talking to the person. But reconciliation takes two. It takes one to forgive, it takes one to apologize, but for reconciliation it takes two. Let me just give you this, guys. Reconciliation is not always possible on earth. It's not always possible. Forgiveness is a must. Reconciliation, it's your choice. And what does Joseph want to do through this story? He wants to reconcile with his brother. And let me just give you one more point. Reconciliations are messy. Forgiveness is simple. It's a choice that you make in your private. You don't even have to talk to the person. But if you want to reconcile with the person, and like I said, you don't have to. But if you want to, reconciliations are messy. So you're wondering, why is Joseph dragging them through all that drama? The cup of Egypt and whatever, putting them in prison and getting harsh with them and angry with them. Why? Because Joseph wants reconciliation. Now he realizes that was God's plan all alone. He realizes that they had to sell him so that he could save many lives. So he can save many lives. And finally he says to the brothers, you can go. I'm a good man, but I'm going to keep Benjamin. And look what they said in chapter 45, I believe. Yeah, put that up there. 44. And here's what Judah says to him. So please, my Lord, let me stay as a slave instead of the boy. Let me stay. And let the boy return with his brothers. And here's what I'm thinking. It wasn't just Judah who said that. I think Reuben said, let me stay. And I think Simeon said, let me stay. And Dan said, let me stay. And Levi said, let me stay. What is repentance? Repentance is when you are willing to make it right. Do you remember Jesus went to Nicodemus? Zacchaeus home. Zacchaeus was a tax collector, a crook. And when Jesus talked to him, Jesus impacted his life so much. He said to Jesus, when Jesus was coming from his house, leaving his house, he said, Lord, whoever I hurt, I will pay. And whoever I stole from, I'll pay four times. And what did Jesus say? Truly, the kingdom of God has come to this house. And I think Joseph was a genius. I really do. I think he's leading them into reconciliation. It's either they are not repentant or they are. And if they are, then he's going to have a relationship with them. If somebody cheated on you and they're not repentant, don't go back to them. But if they are, think about it. It's up to you still. Don't have to, but you could. Please, my Lord, let me stay here as a slave instead of the boy, and let the boy return with his brothers. Next verse. For how can I return to my father if the boy is not with me? I couldn't bear to see the anguish again. I want to add again there. This would cause my father. They saw the anguish it caused the father when they sold Joseph into slavery. And now he's saying, I'm not going to do it again. That's how you know a person is repentant. I believe God is leading our church today to forgive those who sin against us. So we can live in harmony, so we can live the full life God has for us. Now let me just give you what forgiveness is not. At the end of the service, we're going to pray for and release those people who've sinned against us. That's what we're going to do. But let me just show you what forgiveness is not. Forgiveness is not forgetting. Write this down. Forgiveness is not forgetting. When you forgive someone, your memory isn't suddenly wiped out or clean. It would be actually nice if you would forgive somebody and totally forget about it. But I remember when somebody sinned against me, I remember saying, I forgive you, and I still remember what he did. And I said, the next day, I forgive you, and I still remember. So forgiveness doesn't mean you forget what they've done to you. Number two, forgiveness is not regaining automatic trust. So if your business partner cheated you, right, you forgive them. It doesn't mean you let them, give them the card again, the Visa, the checkbook again. You don't give them access or password to your bank accounts. Yeah, I forgive you, but it doesn't gain automatic trust. Your uncle sexually molested somebody, you can forgive that uncle, but it doesn't mean you're going to let him play with your children again or babysit your kids. No. Don't be fools. Sexual sins against children usually happen with family members or uncles, aunts, and close too. So you got to protect your children. Sometimes single mothers, a guy will come in into your life acting like he loves you, but he's going after the children. It's sick. If you're doing it, you need to repent, because you'll suffer the rest of your life and eternity. Forgiveness doesn't mean that I automatically trust you. Automatic trust. Number three, forgiveness is not removal of consequences. You hear people say to at sentencing of a murderer, I forgive you. But it doesn't mean that now the judge has to release them from prison. No, they're going to spend the rest of their life in prison. It doesn't mean, see, a lot of people think, if I forgive you, I must forget. If I forgive you, I have to trust you again. If I forgive you, I have to remove the consequences. No, you don't. No, you don't. Most likely, you will never forget what they've done to you. But you still have to forgive for yourself. Somebody said this, unforgiveness is like a swallowing a poison pill, hoping that somebody else will die. They're not going to die, but you're dying slowly. Unforgiveness is hurting you. It's causing you pain. And Jesus Christ came so you can have your life to the fullest. Why am I yelling? Because it's so important. Jesus Christ has come to give you life to the fullest. And if you haven't forgiven, you are not living it. You get depressed. You get offended. You're bitter. Your prayers are angry prayers. And God only responds to faith prayers, not emotionally angry prayers. You got to forgive. And I thought I'd never have to deal with this, but in the last couple of months, I've been struggling with this. And today, I actually asked Pastor Tanya to preach this message. And she just said no, because I was like, Lord, why are you making me? I'm still healing myself. I've forgiven, don't get me wrong. I'm not holding unforgiveness. But between forgiveness and healing, there's time. There's always time. Especially the more pain they've caused you, the longer time sometimes it takes. So just because you're feeling like you haven't forgiven, forgiveness is not a feeling, it's a choice. I got down on my knees one day and I said, God, I forgive this person. I didn't feel it. God, I was so good to this person and they were not. I forgive them. And next day, I have to forgive them again. And next day, Jesus said, Peter says, how many times should you forgive your brother? 7 times? And Jesus says, no, 70 times 7. That's every 3 minutes a day. So the healing doesn't come right away. Forgiveness is a choice that you make any moment. And I hope you make it today at the end of the service. See, the song they sang today, your love is walking around me and it won't let go. Until you forgive, because God loves you, He'll continue to walk with His love and push you towards forgiveness. And it's painful when God brings that person in your life. You remember what I said in point one? Your hurts will come to hunt you. It's God bringing with His love. He's bringing that person so you would let go of them. So you would forgive them. Number four, forgiveness is not ignoring the offense. Oh, it didn't happen. It didn't hurt that much. No, it did hurt. I'm not ignoring what happened, but I still choose to forgive. Forgiveness is not instant emotional healing. Healing takes time. Can you turn to your neighbor and tell healing takes time? I'm going over time, so I got to keep you engaged a little bit. So that's why I'm doing that. Healing takes time. Number six, forgiveness is not automatic restoration of the relationship. It doesn't happen. And besides, you don't have to. But sometimes you want to, right? If it's your parents or if it's your child who sinned against you, you want to. You want to have that relationship. But it doesn't happen automatically. Number seven. Forgiveness is not conditional. Forgiveness is unconditional. It has to be. It's not based on somebody else's response. Pastor, if they would apologize, I would forgive. Some people are such narcissists. They're so selfish. They're so broken. They will never apologize. Some people have hurt you, listen to me, and they don't even know it. They just never cared about you like you cared about them, and that's why it hurts so much. So if you wait for them to apologize, you'll waste your life of in bitterness and anger, and your relationship with God will be, the Wi-Fi will be broken. Because Jesus did say this, if you don't forgive your people who've sinned against you, your heavenly Father will not forgive you. So there's a dam between God and you. God dam. I don't know if that's right or not, but I don't know. I repent, Lord. I don't know. It does kind of work, but okay, I gotta quit when I get tired. Thank you. Praise Jesus. I could make it work, actually, you know, if I play with words a little bit, but Forgiveness is not tolerating or neglecting justice. Forgiveness is not weakness. Forgiveness is not for the faint of heart. It takes a lot of energy to forgive. It does.
And yet God is asking you to let go for yourself. He died so you can have life full of joy, and it's blocking your joy because you're carrying it. And some of you are like sitting here like, I wish I didn't come to this service. And as soon as he's going to end, I'm going to run out because I'm just feeling so awkward. You needed the most then. You needed the most. You needed the most. So don't run. There will be a prayer line at the end here. So come and get prayed for if you need extra prayer. So forgiveness is not diminishing the action. They did sell him into slavery. It wasn't an accident. It was deliberate. They hated him so much. Now they're living with all this guilt and shame. And he's living with pain. He's living with pain. And he chooses to forgive and reconcile. You don't have to. Listen to me. You don't have to reconcile. You do have to. Reconciliation is your choice if you want to do it or not. Okay? Some people you shouldn't reconcile with. If they've done something to you, you should forgive them. But you should keep them as a buddy, you know, like far away. Buddy, buddy. Okay, so what is forgiveness? I'm just going to read this off to you. It says, letting go of right to get even. Number two, moving forward. Number three, dropping the grudge and resentment. Number four, forgiveness is a choice. Number five, it's step towards healing. Just remember what I'm saying. By forgiving, you're not going to get healed, most likely on the spot. I mean, God could do it. Sometimes it take a while. I remember when I had to forgive, it took about a month, and then I forgot. And I still remember what happened, but I don't have the emotions anymore. I might have a scar, but I don't have the sensitivity of the scar or pain of the scar. So what does Jesus command us to do? He says, every time the offense comes back to you, you say, Father, I forgive. Here's what I've done. I said, God, I forgive this person. I don't feel it, but I forgive. Help me. Next hour, I said it again. Next day, I said it again 5, 10 times, 20 times, whatever. And then I forgot about it after about a month, and I was completely healed. And today, I remember what happened to me for the purpose of this message, but I don't hold anything against this person. I actually feel pity for them. I actually feel like, man, they had it rough when they were growing up. That's why they acted a certain way. Now I can do that, but before I couldn't. And so here's the moment. Let's play the music.
Thanks for tuning in to New Life Sermon Series Online. If you're blessed by these messages and are interested in helping spread the word of God to others, make an investment today. You can give at newlifechurchsf.org. If you have a story or a testimony to share, let us know on our website as well. We hope you have a blessed day and enjoy today's message by Pastor Alex.